శ్రీ భగవానువాచ త్వయాహం తోషితః సమ్యగ్ వేదగర్భ శుశ్రుక్షయా చిరం భృతేన తపసా దుస్తోషకూటయోగినాం త్వయాహం తోషితః సమ్యగ్ వేదగర్భ శుశ్రుక్షయా చిరం భృతేన తపసా దుస్తోషకూటయోగినా శ్రీభగవానువాచ త్వయాహం తోషితః సమ్యగ్ వేదగర్భ శుశ్రుక్షయా చిరం భృతేన తపసా దుస్తోషకూటయోగినా భగవానువాచ త్వయాహం తోషితః సమ్యగ్ వేదగర్భ శుశ్రుక్షయా చిరం భృతేన తపసా దుస్తోషకూటయోగినాం శ్రీభగవానువాచ త్వయాహం తోషితః సమ్యగ్ వేదగర్భ శుశ్రుక్షయా చిరంభృతేన తపసా దుస్తోషకూటయోగినాం మాతాజీ శ్రీభగవానువాచ త్వయాహం తోషితః సమ్యగ్ శుశ్రుక్షయా చిరం భృతేన తపసా దుస్తోషకూటయోగినాం వర్డ్ టు వర్డ్ ట్రాన్స్లేషన్ శ్రీ భగవానువాచ The all-powerful personality of Godhead said, Tvaya, by you, aham, I, toshitaha, pleased, samyak, complete, Vedagarbha, impregnated with the Vedas, Sisrukshaya, for creating, Chiram, for a long time, Bhritena, accumulated, Tapasa, by penance, Dustoshaha, very hard to please, Kuta Yoginam, for the pseudo-mystics, translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation, the beautiful personality of Godhead addressed to Lord Brahma, O Brahma, impregnated with the Vedas, I am very much pleased with your long accumulated penance with the desire for creation. Hardly am I pleased with the pseudo-mystics. Purport, there are two kinds of penance, one for sense gratification and the other for self-realization. There are many pseudo-mystics who undergo severe penances for their own satisfaction. And there are others who undergo severe penances for the satisfaction of the senses of the Lord. For example, the penances undertaken to discover nuclear weapons will never satisfy the Lord, because such a penance is never satisfactory. By nature's own way, everyone has to meet death, and if such a process of death is accelerated by anyone's penances, there is no satisfaction for the Lord. The Lord wants every one of his parts and parcels to attain eternal life and bliss by coming home to Godhead, and the whole material creation is meant for that objective. Brahma underwent severe penances for that purpose, namely to regulate the process of creation so that the Lord might be satisfied. Therefore, the Lord was very much pleased with him, and for this, Brahma was impregnated with the Vedic knowledge. The ultimate purpose of Vedic knowledge is to know the Lord and not to misuse the knowledge for any other purposes. Those who do not utilize Vedic knowledge for that purpose are known as Kuta Yogis or pseudo-transcendentalists who spoil their lives with ulterior motives. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuron Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Namavo Vishnupadaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jayashri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Srivasadi Gauravakta Vranda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So today we are reading the first verse spoken by Lord Krishna to Brahma after Lord Brahma's penance. Krishna is expressing his pleasure towards Brahma. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, said, Tvayaham Toshita Samyag Veda Garbha Sisrikshaya Chiram Britena Tapasa Dustosha Kuta Yoginam. So he's addressing Brahma by the word, He Veda Garbha. Veda Garbha means one who is impregnated with the Vedas. Or another meaning which Vishnu Chakravartipad gives is that Vedan Sancharayati iti Veda Garbha. That means one who has not only assimilated the Vedas, but one who also propagates the Vedic knowledge. Sancharayati, one who also teaches the Vedic knowledge to others through his parampara. So Vedan Sancharayati. So Veda Garbha also means that. So Lord is saying that Kutam, Kuta Yoginam, uses the word Kuta Yoginam. Kutam means what? Chala Kamana. Chala Kamana Tena Yuktanam Yoginam. So Kuta Yoginam means those yogis who have some cheating attitude or pseudo-mystics. By such kind of yogis, Dustoshaha. Dustoshaha means Toshayitum Ashakyaha. I cannot be satisfied by such Kuta yogis. And then he says, but aham tvaya sisrikshaya hetuna chiram britena. Britena means anushtitena, anushtan karana. Chiram britena tapasa சாதன பூத்தேன சத்ரியக் சம்யக் தோஷித்தஹ. பட் ஆன் தி அதர் ஹேண்ட், பை த பெனான்ஸ் பெர்ஃபார்ம்டு பை யூ வித் த டிசைர் டு பெர்ஃபார்ம் த சர்வீஸ் ஆஃப் கிரியேஷன் சிசுக்ஷயா ஹேதுனா, பை சச் அ பெனான்ஸ் வித் அ with a motivation to perform the service of creation, and chiram brutena, by the penance which is performed for a long time, sadriyak, that means samyak toshitah, I am completely satisfied. That is the meaning of the shloka. So here we'll focus on few words in the shloka. So, Jiva Goswami, in his commentary on the shloka, he says that, Tvaya aham iti sisrikshayo upalakshitena natu vishishtena mad bhakti prabhavena. So, Jiva Goswami says that, the Lord is not satisfied simply by by Brahma's desire to perform penance, for the purpose of creation. He says that sisrikshaya upalakshitena natu vishishtena, that means penance with a desire to carry out the creation, that is not the real reason the Lord is satisfied. So he uses the word mat bhakti prabhavena. That means that it is secondary to Brahma's bhakti. So the Brahma had the he had a desire to perform creation because it is the Lord's purpose. It is the desire of the Lord that the all the living entities should be given an opportunity by getting the material bodies for pursuing the goal of life. It is the Lord's desire, and Brahma wanted to perform that service. But even in that, there is a predominance of bhakti. Mat bhakti prabhavena, that word is used. So there is a pradani bhuta bhakti and the guni bhuta bhakti. And the bhakti is predominant over the other elements of karma, jnana, that is called as pradani bhuta bhakti. When the karma, jnana or yoga, when they are predominant over bhakti, then that is called as guni bhuta bhakti. So Lord Brahma was Krishna was satisfied because of the predominance of bhakti in Lord Brahma. And then Jiva Goswami also says that yataha kuta yogina miti aprojita kaitavanam aham dustosha iti. So kuta yoginam, he is also kuta yoginam means aprojita kaitavanam. So this word also comes in the beginning of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Dharma projita kaitavotra paramo nirmatsaranam. So kuta yogi is equivalent to aprojita kaitavotra, one who has not given up the cheating propensity. That is called as a kuta yogi. We will also discuss some meaning given by Jiva Goswami in this regard a little later. Vishnu Chakotipad, he gives this meaning. Veda Garbha means Vedan Sancharayati. And apart from that, another commentator, Giridhari Lal in the Bala Prabodhini, he says that there is a Uttama Bhakta, Madhyama Bhakta and Adama Bhakta. So he explains that Yastu Mat Preetyartham மத் அபிப்ரேதம் கரோதி ச உத்தமோ. தட் பர்சன் who performs a service or who performs a penance with the purpose to fulfill the Lord's desire, such a person is called as a uttama devotee. Mokshartam sadhanani anutishtati sa madhyamaha. One who performs penance with a desire to attain moksha is called as a madhyama. And then boge chayam mad aradhanam karoti saha adamaha. A person who performs worship of the Lord with a desire to enjoy some material enjoyment, he is called as an adama. These are some comments in the of the acharyas on this shloka. So we see here Lord is addressing Brahma by the word Veda Garbha. You have been impregnated with the Vedas. One acharya in the Sri Sampradaya, Parashara Bhatta, he glorifies the Lord. Hartur tamas sadasati cha vivektu meesha manam pradipamiva karuniko dadati tenava lokya kritina paribujyatetam tatraiva kepi chapala shalabi bhavanti. So the Lord has given the lamp called as the Vedas. And this lamp of Vedic knowledge, it destroys the ignorance. And it gives the viveka buddhi to differentiate between dharma and adharma. Sad asati cha vivektu meesha. And then, those who are fortunate, those who are pious, those who are devotees, they use this lamp of Vedic knowledge to understand the Supreme Lord. Tenava lokya kritina paribujyatetam. But there are other people, kepi chapalaha shalabi bhavanti. There are other people who use this lamp of Vedic knowledge to interpret the Vedas. Such people are like the moth, which also sees the same lamp, but then it goes inside that lamp, and then it gets burnt by that lamp, and then it gets destroyed. Similarly, those people who interpret the Vedic scriptures, they get consumed, they get destroyed. That is why Prabhupada speaks about pseudo-yogis, means those who do not utilize the Vedic knowledge for that purpose are known as the kuta-yogis. So the kuta-yogis are people, they may give their own opinion, but by taking the shoulder of the Vedas. Dusron ke kande mein banduk laga ke goli chalana, we say. So they take the Vedic Shastras, but they give their own interpretation. So such cheating propensity, Gaur Govind Maharaj speaks a very profound statement. It's which requires great reflection. He says that to execute the order of the Guru and Gauranga, we can kick out anything. If it is required to go to hell, we are prepared to go there, but we will not practice any sort of duplicity. Why should I go to hell? Instead, I will accept some duplicity. I will manipulate something here and there, and then instead I will go to Brahmaloka by accepting some duplicity. So even if such a person, by manipulating something, if he goes to Brahmaloka, still he cannot be delivered. He will fall from that position very soon. But by cultivating simplicity, if by chance, if somebody lands up in hell, Guru and Gauranga will go to hell to deliver that such a person. So therefore, Guru and Gauranga, they deliver somebody who is simple, they are not kapata pavana, they are patita pavana. So here, because Brahma was very sincere in his purpose, the Lord is saying that I am very pleased with you. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur also says that there is a difference between cheating propensity and weakness of the mind. So somebody who is weak, who may have certain weakness, but who is sincere, such people are not cheaters. Cheating means somebody who says something but who has some other purpose in the mind. So such a person is difficult to get delivered. In another shloka, the Subhashita Nivi, Vedanta Desika speaks an interesting shloka, where he says that, Navadala pute kalpya yasya praborapi talpadihi, natapari vrido yasya adastha chadmam shamayishyate. A devotee, a person particularly in the renowned starter, is going to a pupil tree and is seeing the leaf of a pupil tree, a newly grown leaf of a pupil tree. So normally, if a devotee sees the leaf of a pupil tree, Vedanta Desika says that one should get reminded of Lord Vishnu. Sattvam brutome jatarena natha katamnu yasyo darayeta dasid vishvam yugante vatapatra yeka shetesma maya shishurangripana. Devahuti says how is it that you have taken birth from the womb of an ordinary woman like me? It is something astonishing to me. It is inconceivable to my mind that you have the entire universe in your belly, but you have taken birth from the womb of an ordinary lady like me. It is inconceivable to my mind. And then she consoles herself, convinces herself by saying that, but sometimes you appear as a small child, a small baby, and then at the time of the pralaya, you lie down on the leaf of a pupil tree, vatapatra, and then you suck your own toe. When I remember this particular pastime, which is inconceivable, so then I understand it, okay. You can also appear from a womb of an ordinary lady like me. So, a devotee of Vishnu, when he sees a newly grown leaf of a pupil tree, he should get reminded of that form of the Vatapatra Shai. Or if somebody is a devotee of Lord Shiva, by seeing that pupil tree leaf, he should get reminded of Lord Shiva. Because it is said that Lord Shiva, after the Tandava Nritya, he comes and takes rest at the foot of a pupil tree. But Vedanta Desika says that, but this person is seeing the leaf of a pupil tree, but he is thinking that, oh, when will this leaf of the pupil tree grow so that I can make a drone out of it and in that I can store some sweet rice and eat it. So he says that such a person is a fool, or such a person, he is actually a cheater. So he is seeing that pupil tree, instead of getting reminded of Lord Vishnu, he is meditating about how to use that pupil tree for his own enjoyment. So therefore, Shukadeva Goswami says that Sayesha Atmat Mavatam Adishwaras Trayimayo Dharmamaya Stapomaya Gatavyalikair Ajashankaradibir Vitarkya Lingo Bhagavan Prasidatam. So Shukadeva Goswami says that Gatavyalikair Ajashankaradibir, that the Supreme Lord is worshipped by Brahma and Shiva and all those who are transcendental to all pretensions. Gatavyalikair Ajashankaradibir. So being so revered with awe and veneration, may that Supreme Absolute Truth be pleased with me. And as Jiva Goswami mentioned, that Kuta Yogi means Aprojita Kaitava Dharma. Aprojita Kaitava. So regarding this point, Dharma Projita Kaitava. So Jiva Goswami says that what is the meaning of the word Kaitavatvam? So Kaitavatvam means Tan Matra Apekshatvam Ched Yekataratvam Sviya Anyadiya Pala Apekshatvam Ched Sa Kaitavatvam. That means if a person has even one ulterior motive in devotional service to benefit himself or somebody other than Krishna and the Vaishnavas, then that is called as a Kaitavatvam, that is called a cheating. Another place in the Srimad Bhagavatam, when Narada Muni speaks about the five types of adharma, he says one type of adharma is Chaladharma. Chaladharma means, it refers to a person who explains the scriptures in a different way, different from the actual purpose in which the scriptures are spoken. That is a Chaladharma. So in this way, these are some points related to the word Kuta Dharma. So the Lord Brahma, not only he performs the service of creation, which is a, in one purport in the Bhagavatam, Prabhupada says that we cannot imagine how difficult the service of Lord Brahma is. Because he has to create bodies to the innumerable living entities exactly suitable to their karma. And he has to give a place exactly suitable to their karma. Like, devotees have a tough time allocating accommodation exactly suitable to the requirement for, say, for few days in a yatra. So we can imagine Brahma's difficulty exactly suitable to their karma. He has to give a body and the place. So that Brahma, so not only he performs that very difficult service, but he also performs the service of propagating the Vedic knowledge by being the Acharya of the Brahma Sampradaya. He propagates the Vedic knowledge to Narada Muni, and then through Narada Muni to Veda Vyasa and other personalities. He gives the parampara also. So when we talk about Brahma, Brahma comes so many places in the Srimad Bhagavatam, but some points I will just mention. So Brahma, we see Brahma's role as a sincere student and as well as also as a good teacher. As a student, we see in these verses, Brahma very sincerely performed tapasya with a desire to please the Lord. And Brahma also as a sincere student, he also studied the Vedas three times with full concentration. Bhagavan Brahma Katsyena Tri Ranviksya Manishaya Tad Adyavasyat Kutastu Ratiratman Yato Bhavet. With full concentration, with full attention, he studied the Vedas not once but three times. After first time, he thought that the conclusion of the Vedas is to follow the Karma Kanda, but then he got certain doubts, therefore he again decided to study second time. And then he thought that the conclusion of the Vedas is to follow the Jnana Kanda Marga. And then again he got some doubt, and then again he studied for the third time. Then he came to the conclusion, Ratir Atman Yato Bhaved. The purpose of the Vedas is to develop attraction toward the Supreme Lord, to develop love for the Supreme Lord. And the same Brahma, we also see his role as a teacher or as a guru. What is the mood of Brahma in speaking? Srimad Bhagavatam are giving spiritual instructions. When Narada Muni asks questions to Brahma, Brahma says that Samyak Karunikasyedam Vatsate Vichikitsitam Yadaham Chodita Saumya Bhagavat Virya Darshane. He is saying that, O Narada, the questions which you asked, by those questions, you have been merciful towards me. Because by these questions, I have been inspired to think about the prowess of the Supreme Lord, Bhagavad Virya Darshane. So, he is actually speaking in such a state of humility. He is saying that, Narada, the disciple, you have been merciful towards me. And Brahma, as a responsible person, and Brahma also, we can see, also as an expert mediator, that role also comes in so many places in the Bhagavatam. But especially the role of a mediator is so, it's a very difficult role. He has to deal with the emotions of the people. So materialists are expert in dealing with the gross matter. They come up with Chat GPT, artificial intelligence, different advanced gadgets. But the spiritualists are expert in dealing with the emotions of the people. So Brahma's role as an expert mediator, it comes in many places in the Bhagavatam. For example, in the fourth canto, in the Daksha Yajna, when Sati ended her life, when she was unable to tolerate the offense committed to Lord Shiva, at that time Lord Shiva's followers went and destroyed the sacrifice of Daksha. And they killed Daksha, they punished Pusha, Bhaga, Bhrugumuni. And then after that, all the devatas approach Brahma, and Brahma tells the devatas, having offended a personality like Lord Shiva, what do you expect in the life? It would have been better that you had been killed actually. But you are still surviving, that itself is a great. So he chastised them that you have offended a personality like Lord Shiva, you indirectly supported Daksha's suffering, so therefore you definitely deserve that. But the same Lord Brahma, he goes along with the devatas and he goes to meet Lord Shiva. And he glorifies Lord Shiva and then he pleads on behalf of the devatas to forgive the mistakes of Daksha and the people who are indirectly supporting Daksha. And Lord Brahma says to Lord Shiva that, you have only created the system of sacrifice. And Daksha was the inaugurator of the system of sacrifice. And now since Daksha is killed, how can the sacrifice be revived, which is meant for the welfare of the universe? Just like Nityananda Prabhu pacified Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who was about to kill Madai. Nityananda Prabhu told that, in this incarnation, you have appeared not to kill the demons, but to kill the demonic propensity. So please actually forgive Jagai Madai. In that way, Nityananda Prabhu pleaded. So Brahma was pleading on behalf of Daksha and others that you please revive Daksha, forgive them. You don't have to punish them. Such people who have a differentiated vision, they are already killed by their own actions. They are already punished by their own actions. So Brahmaji, because he understood, although Daksha definitely committed a mistake because he offended a great Vaishnava, but at the same time, Daksha was a pious person. He was engaged in karmakanda sacrifices and it was meant for the welfare of the universe. So therefore, Lord Brahma wanted that the sacrifice should also be revived. The sacrifice is also ultimately meant for pleasing Vishnu and it is meant for the welfare of the universe. So therefore, he is also pleading on behalf of the Devatas and to Lord Shiva to revive the sacrifice, to revive Daksha. So Brahma is playing the expert mediator. The same Daksha Yajna, we see that previously when Daksha criticized Lord Shiva and then Daksha left that assembly, and then there was a cursing and counter cursing, and Lord Shiva left that assembly, but still the sacrifice continued on. Because the sacrifice was not destroyed, the other people, they continued the sacrifice. But later, when Lord Shiva became angry, this whole sacrifice was destroyed. So then Lord Brahma is wanted to revive the sacrifice, which is meant for the welfare of the universe. So we see that Prabhupada also made one statement that there will be meetings, resolutions, dissolutions, and no solutions, but the chanting should go on. The chanting should go on, because the chanting of the holy names or the propagation of the Srimad Bhagavatam or the Krishna Seva, that should never stop at any cost, whatever meetings happen, whatever resolutions happen. So we can, Prabhupada apparently made this statement in some letter or conversation, but we can see this Shastric Pramana from this episode, because the sacrifice which is meant for pleasing Vishnu, that should be revived, that should not be stopped. For that purpose, Brahma is playing the expert role of a mediator, and he also chastised the people who are supporting the offense, who are indirectly supported in the offense to Lord Shiva. At the same time, he is also pleading on behalf of them to Lord Shiva to revive the sacrifice, which is meant for the welfare of the universe, to please Vishnu. And Brahma also played an expert role of a mediator in the Priyavrata Maharaj episode. He expertly dealt with the situation. At the end, Swayambhu Manu was satisfied, Priyavrata Maharaj was satisfied, Narada Muni was satisfied. So all the people involved in that, everyone was satisfied. Nobody had a grudge. So that is why he is an expert mediator. And the Prithu Maharaj episode also, Brahmaji, he did not approach Indra, understanding Indra's nature as a stubborn devotee, and he approached Prithu Maharaj. And even when Prachetas were excessively burning the trees, that time also Brahmaji understood that there is an imbalance in the universal creation. They are excessively burning the trees. So Prabhupada says that a responsible person in any establishment is always alert to keep peace and harmony within the establishment. And Brahma, being in charge of the whole universe, immediately comes to control the situation. He came and pacified the Prachetas by using expert words of logic. Putran barhishmato nayaihi. With words of logic, he convinced them. In this way, Brahma's role comes in various places in the Bhagavatam. So I will also speak a few words about Bhaktivinoda Thakur, whose disappearance day we are observing today. When we talk about the scriptural study, in a traditional way, the scriptural study involves various steps. The first step is one has to understand the connection between the different scriptures. What is the role of different scriptures? Sangati is called as connection. One has to understand the connection between the different scriptures. And second is that within a particular scripture, there are various sections are there. One has to understand the sangati, connection between the various sections within a particular scripture. Like in the Gita, connection between first six chapters and middle six chapters, and then between the later six chapters. And then within a particular section, one has to understand the connection between the various chapters. What is the connection between the second chapter and the third chapter? Because of that, Arjuna is asking that question. And then one has to understand the connection between the various subsections between within the particular chapter. Within a chapter, there are so many subsections. what is the interconnection between them. And within a section, there are many shlokas are there. What is the connection between the previous shloka and this shloka? That sangati one has to understand. And then within a particular shloka, what is the connection between the various words mentioned in a shloka? So this is the traditional way of studying a shastra. When a person studies the shastra in this way, the shastra becomes like a karavamalaka. It becomes like a amalaki fruit in one's hand. Or in Prabhupada's words, it's like a walnut in one's grip. Means the whole shastra comes under one's grip. So why I am mentioning is that one can see that the shastric study is it requires a great effort to study in this manner. And it takes a long time also. It is like bringing up the children. When you bring up the children, the result is not going to come in one day or 2 days. It's like many years of the sacrifice put by the parents and different members of the society. Then a particular person, when he grows up, then he starts contributing. It's a very long-term effort. Similarly, shastric study is a long-term effort. In one place, it's explained, Sukarti chet tyajet vidyam, vidyartim chet tyajet sukam, sukinastu kuto vidya, vidyartina kuta sukam. Yajnavalkya says that, if you are interested in comfort, then don't go to shastric study. If you are interested in vidya, then forget the comforts of your life. So in that way, the shastras talk about how there is a tapasya involved in study. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, Vidura says that, Shrutasya pumsam suchira shramasya nanvanjasa suribiriditorta tattad gunanu shravanam mukunda padaravinda hridayeshu yesham. So Vidura says that the goal of a person who is engaged in learning the shastra for a long time with great labor from your guru, what is the goal of shastric study? Is to hear about the devotees of the Lord in whose heart the Supreme Lord resides. So, such a profound statement by Vidura that when we understand the gravity of the intense effort involved in the shastric study, and then when you read this shloka, you can understand how to hearing about the lives of the devotees, lives of the acharyas, that is the goal of the elaborate, laborious effort involved in the shastric study. Because the life of an acharya like Bhaktivinoda Thakur, that is the essence of the shastra, not only in theory but in practice. Because they have demonstrated the essence of the shastra in practice, how to apply in their life. So such an acharya like Bhaktivinoda Thakur, one of the great contributions of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, way back in 1896, he wrote he wrote the book about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his teachings, and he sent it to the Western world. And many years back, one of the Prabhupada's disciples happened to see that book in some library, and then he brought it to Prabhupada, and Prabhupada was so happy to look at that book. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur was such a great visionary acharya that he had a deep faith in few centuries back that the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings and the Srimad Bhagavatam is meant for the whole world. It is not simply meant for the Bengalis or for some Brahmana community or for the Indians. It is meant for the whole world. That was the deep faith he had. The Srimad Bhagavatam, right in the first verse, says that Satyam Param Dhimahi. Dhimahi is used in the Uttama Purusha Bahuvachana. That means లెట్ అస్ మెడిటేట్ ఆన్ ది పరమ సత్య. సో వ్యాసదేవి సేయింగ్ దట్ దట్ మీన్స్ దిస్ భాగవతం, ద మెసేజ్ ఇన్ ద భాగవతం, ఇట్ ఈస్ మెంట్ ఫర్ ఆల్ ద లివింగ్ ఎంటిటీస్. ఈస్ నాట్ యూజింగ్ ద ఏకవచన లెట్ అస్ మెడిటేట్ ఆన్ ది సుప్రీం అబ్సల్యూట్ ట్రూత్. సో భక్తి వినోద్ ఠాకూర్ హ్యాడ్ దట్ డీప్ ఫెయిత్ ద భాగవతం మహాప్రభుస్ టీచింగ్స్ ఇస్ మెంట్ ఫర్ ద హోల్ వరల్డ్. సో దర్ ఫోర్ హీ రోట్ ద బుక్ ఇన్ 1896 ఇట్సెల్ఫ్. అండ్ ద సేమ్ ఇయర్ హీ ప్రెడిక్టెడ్ దట్ ఎ సేనాపతి భక్త వుడ్ అపియర్ అండ్ హూడ్ ప్రాబగేట్ ద టీచింగ్స్ ఆఫ్ లార్డ్ చైతన్య, ప్రాబగేట్ ద టీచింగ్స్ ఆఫ్ లార్డ్ చైతన్య అండ్ ద హోల్ వరల్డ్. ఇన్ అనదర్ క్లాస్ రాజనాథ్ స్వామి మహారాజ్ మెన్షన్, when we read the Bhakti Vinod, when we hear about the Bhakti Vinod Thakur's life, we can understand that there is absolutely no excuse for us to practice bhakti, because his life is, he had such a large family with 10 children and he had a very responsible position. He was a magistrate in the British government, and on top of that, he wrote so many books, and he had to meet with many challenges, like he had to expose Kuta yogis like Bishak Sen, who claimed himself to be a Mahavishnu, and in exposing Bishak Sen, he exhibited his role as a very courageous person. And despite facing so many health challenges and performing the responsibility as a householder, as a magistrate, and he made so much of literary contribution, and he also found out the birthplace of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and personally he collected funds for building the temple there by going to as many people as possible. Maharaj mentioned that just like in the mood of Advaita Acharya, who Advaita Acharya was instrumental in bringing Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to appear in this world, similarly Bhakti Vinod Thakur was instrumental in establishing Mahaprabhu's temple in his birthplace, and he wanted to benefit as many people as possible. He could have collected, when he could have gone to few rich people and then easily built the temple, but he wanted maximum people to get the benefit of Mahaprabhu's mercy. Therefore, he personally went and collected donation from them. So, I will read just one quotation from Bhaktivinoda Thakur's book and then I will end. So, this is a very profound essay Bhaktivinoda Thakur has written about the Srimad Bhagavatam. One small paragraph in that. You must yourself knock at the door of the inexhaustible store of the truth, from which the former sages drew their wealth. Go up to the fountain head of the truth, where no pilgrim meets with a disappointment of any kind. Vyasa did it and obtained what he wanted. We have been advised to do so. Liberty then is the principle which we must consider as the most valuable gift of God. We must not allow ourselves to be led by those who lived and thought before us. We must think for ourselves and try to get further truths which are still undiscovered. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in his life, we also see his role as a seeker, as an inquisitive person. We also see this aspect of his personality. And then he says, in the Bhagavat, we have been advised to take the spirit of the Shastras and not the words. The Bhagavat is therefore a religion of liberty, unmixed truth and the absolute love. In this way, Bhaktivinoda Thakur has written so many wonderful books. Bhaktivinoda Thakur's life is a perfect example of the quality of avyartha kalatvam, not wasting a single moment apart from service to Krishna. So with this, I would like to end here. Rantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaura Bhaktavranda ki jai.